As you all well know, for the last 3 months, we have been completely unable to meet for services. Due to events beyond our control, we've been on lockdown. We've been stowed away at home. Many people haven't been able to get to work for 3 months or more. Travel's been limited to whatever is deemed essential. Schools have been closed, sporting events canceled, graduations have been held online, even weddings and funerals had to be put on hold. As you're all probably well aware, there hasn't been any basketball or baseball this year because the whole schedule has just been postponed, and it remains to be seen if it will continue at some later date. Well, 3 weeks ago, it looked like some things might be opening up soon. It looked like things might be starting to get back to normal. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a man dies at the hand of a Minneapolis police officer. You've all seen the video. You know what I'm talking about. This sparked a lot of protests in cities all across the country. And then widespread looting began, with even more people killed or injured. And a lot of businesses that were just starting to get back on their feet were totally destroyed. And one neighborhood in Seattle and its police precinct were captured, were overtaken, so that they declared the area an autonomous zone, whatever that means. Now, I think they've come to realize that if they secede from the city and the state and the country like it sounded like they wanted to do, they probably came to realize that they're going to have to provide their own trash collection and their own utilities and different things. And I think they wised up and they said, well, we don't want to secede. We just want to be a separate area. We just want to have this presence here. And so they're occupying the space. And the interesting thing is that the mayor of Seattle seems to think, well, that's just fine. That's okay, you can do that. And she said, it's just a block party. And that's the way she viewed it. But many residents in the area feel very threatened by it, while those in charge are perfectly fine to let it continue just like it is and not do anything about it. So then, just when you know it can't get any worse than this, it does. And we hear the reports of an Atlanta police officer shooting a man that he had stopped for being drunk behind the wheel. You think it's all just America having these issues? Is it just this country? You better look again. Last week, China and India got into a big border dispute. I think they might have settled it to a degree right now, but I don't think it's ever going to be totally settled. And then we hear about North Korea blowing up a joint liaison office near the South Korean border. What does that all mean? What's the meaning of all of this? It's easy to see how things are heating up all over the world. And these things are starting now to happen in rapid succession, one after the other. Why has 2020 been such a stressful year? What's going on in the world? We've heard protesters calling for the disbanding of the police. Now, do you understand what that would create if that happened? Turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. It says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That's part of an end time prophecy. Lawlessness. Lawlessness will abound. And that's exactly what you would have if we didn't have the police. lawlessness. And interestingly enough, that's what some of our lawmakers in Congress, that's what they are, they're lawmakers, that's what they want. The lawmakers are voting for lawlessness. Does that make sense? I don't think it does. Does it make you feel hopeless? Does it make you feel confused? Does it make you feel maybe just a little bit angry? Is this really America? And is God still with us? We have to wonder when even government officials don't seem to care what's good for us. And we don't know if we can count on them. Well, we see all this and we ask the question, who's in control? Is anybody in control? Well, someone is in control. And in his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul tells us who's in control. Because in that particular letter, he refers to Satan the devil as the god of this world. And that's who is in control. And that's what he is. He is the god of this world. His actions in the world are now intensifying. Now, that's the title today, the god of this world. If you want the title, it's the god of this world. His actions in the world are intensifying, and we may just be getting a lot closer to what we see in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. Let's turn over there. Revelation 12, verse 12. It says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." He knows his days are numbered, and he's going to get in as much destruction and confusion on the world as he possibly can. That day is coming when he knows he's going to have to turn up the heat. And maybe it hasn't quite started yet, but it looks like it is starting to intensify. And it may be getting closer and closer. But where are we now in our battle with the god of this world? There is a hidden pandemic all around us, and it can destroy us. This pandemic did not start in some laboratory in China. It did not start in a laboratory anywhere else, for that matter. This pandemic does not come from, nor is it spread through, infected meat. And in fact, animals, for the most part, are immune to this particular pandemic. It wasn't carelessly or accidentally allowed to escape on humanity, and in fact, this pandemic was actually unleashed on humanity intentionally. It was done on purpose. It is an unseen enemy. It is one that could easily destroy us. But it is something that could very simply be avoided. Because if it were allowed to spread, it could infect every person on earth. And in fact, it already has come close to annihilating mankind. But as we know, God is merciful, and he's not allowed that to happen. Not yet he hasn't. He has not allowed man to be annihilated, and he won't, because he is merciful and because he has a plan. Now, this particular pandemic that I'm speaking about does not exist in the form of a single cell contagion. If only this pandemic were as easy to deal with as a simple virus, it would be no problem at all. But it's not so simple. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 12. And I say that because a virus is like dealing with a flesh and blood physical entity. But in Ephesians 6, verse 12, it tells us where the real battle is. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." What we're dealing with, this pandemic, is a spiritual infection, and it affects every one of us. It doesn't affect your respiratory system. It affects your mind. It affects your thoughts. You know, the spirit of Satan can enter us just like a virus does. A virus can get into our respiratory system. The spirit of Satan can get into us in an even more undetectable manner. In Luke chapter 22, verse 3, notice what happened here just before Christ's suffering and death, the evening before. In Luke 22, verse 3, it says, "Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them." The mind of Judas was infiltrated by this infection. This particular pandemic was already circling the globe, and it just took Judas as its victim. You see, even the disciples of Christ weren't immune to it. Judas should have been more resistant, but he gave in. He let Satan use his love of money to destroy him, and destroy him it did. This contagion is much like the biological organisms in that it can spread from person to person, just like a virus can. But it isn't biological at all. It's spiritual in nature. Even so, we know how easily it was passed from person to person. And we only have to look back to the story of Adam and Eve and see how quickly it passed from Eve to her husband. It catches on like wildfire from one person to another. And when that serpent said to Eve, "Look at the fruit. Look how good it is. Look how good it looks. You're not going to die." She was infected. And then she showed it to her husband. And he agreed. "It does look pretty good, doesn't it?" And then he became infected. But just like wildfire from one person to another, let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 18. Because it is very much like a fire, going from one place to another, spreading as it goes. Verse 18 says, "For wickedness burns as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns and kindle in the thickets of forest. They shall mount up like rising smoke." That's the way wickedness is. That's the way evil is, the way of Satan. Satan is the god of this world. His influence is all around us. And just like a virus, this evil that he has started has created a worldwide pandemic. And this pandemic also is characterized and identified by specific symptoms. But just as with a virus, we can be protected from it. What are the symptoms of infection? In other words, what is Satan able to do? What is he able to cause to disrupt our lives and infect us with evil? One of the symptoms of infection is you have trouble seeing things clearly. Now, a visit to your optometrist is not going to help, because you see, Satan is the master illusionist. He can disguise things or he can change their appearance. See how good that fruit looks? It's not going to kill you. He made it look like something good. Let's look at Genesis 3, verse 6. Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Oh, now it's not only good tasting fruit, it's something that'll make me wiser. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Satan made this deadly fruit look very appealing. And Eve was only seeing what the fruit could do for her. Well, it's going to taste good. I'm going to enjoy it. And it's going to make me wise. It's going to open my eyes. That's all she saw. She wasn't seeing it for what it really was. That is, death. It really was death to her. But her vision got a little cloudy. And Adam's did too. And so they had trouble seeing clearly at this fruit. Satan is very good at making what is evil look desirable. Paul warned the church about another type of illusion. And certainly, as I said, Satan is the master illusionist. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. And he's talking here to the Corinthian church about false teachers. There were a lot of them rising up at that time, infiltrating the church. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Of course, we know he's anything but. But that's what he makes himself look like. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So he makes his ministers look like godly ministers. He's making these false teachers appear as godly. And you know what? Most people in the world cannot tell the difference between godly ministers and false ministers. And today, people blindly put their faith in false teachers all over the world. They in turn make ungodly actions appear godly. They make things that are abominable in God's sight look like they're having God's favor, that they are supporting God and godly virtues by the things that they teach. And so these teachers make ungodly actions appear godly. This pandemic has caused man to have blurry vision in the form of Sunday worship, pagan festivals, and on and on. You know, Sunday is referred to as the Lord's Day. But is it? Is it really the Lord's Day? Why do you think it's called Sunday? And then people have their pagan festivals. And we know what they mean. We know what they're all about. We can see them because we have clear vision. But the world has blurred vision. Satan has blurred their vision. Remember how the mayor of Seattle says, "It's okay, they're only having a block party." Well, that's kind of what is being said now with people celebrating these pagan festivals. It's okay, they're just having an Xmas party. It's just an Xmas party. And in God's eyes, it's a sun worship festival. And it's an abomination to him. regardless of the intent, regardless of the fact that you're doing it in His name, which makes it actually worse, that's what God sees it as. He sees it as abominable. Now, you weren't around when that festival was celebrated to the pagan gods, so you don't remember that. But guess what? God was. He was around, and He remembers what it was like. Now, God sees it all clearly, but man's vision is blurred. It's one of the symptoms of this infection, blurry vision. And direct exposure to this is capable of actually causing blindness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. This is where that phrase, the God of this world, comes from. Paul writing to the Corinthians, his second letter to them, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it says, "Whose minds the God of this age," or as the Old King James says, "the God of this world," "has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." See, He's caused them to be blind. The light of the true gospel can't get through. You see, in Satan's world, God's word is a dangerous threat. It's a threat to everything he stands for. And he wants to stamp out as much light of truth as he possibly can. So today, the majority of mankind is blinded to the truth. The God of this world wants to keep man in the dark. Another symptom of this infection is anger issues. And so today we have nation rising up against nation. And you know, Satan is the cause of most of the wars in this world. He's the one behind them. I want to show you in Daniel chapter 10. I'm sure you've seen it before, but in Daniel chapter 10, when the angel came to speak to Daniel, and when Daniel was distressed and the angel came down to him, and he was delayed getting there, first of all, but in chapter 10, verse 20, "Then he," that is the angel, "said, 'Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come.'" You see, these forces of darkness that God's angels were fighting against are directing the kingdoms of this world. The prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, these world-ruling empires were being directed by Satan's demons themselves, the princes of these world-ruling empires. And so this angel is telling Daniel that he's going to have to go and he's going to have to handle this situation. So we see that most of the wars in this world are caused by Satan and his demons. What about North Korea blowing up that liaison office? Was that demon inspired? How long have North Korea and South Korea been at war with each other? And you might say, well, they're not at war now. Well, yeah, they are. Essentially, they've been at war. How long have they been at war? Can anybody remember when they weren't? I remember when I was a kid. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and I kept hearing about Korea this and Korea that. And that was the big thing back in the early 50s. Everything was all about Korea. It's been around a long time. It's been a problem. These demons, they don't go away. They keep fighting. Matthew 24, verse 6. Back again here to Christ's prophecy, he says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. You know, the famine and the disease come as a result of the war. It's like a domino effect. You have one, you're going to have the other. Look at how we had this problem with the coronavirus. And we couldn't travel. We couldn't go to work in many cases. And the only place you could go was to the grocery store. And you get to the grocery store and you find there's no ground beef. You find there's no whatever other type food you want that maybe they run out of. I know lunch meat was in short supply for a while, depending on what week it was, but there was always something that was not there. Still haven't found toilet paper. I don't know where that is. It's got to be out there somewhere. You see a little bit from time to time, but not much. Notice how commodities go in short supply. Well, that's the way it works. You have a war, you'll end up with disease. You have disease, you're going to end up with famine. Because there's not going to be any people going to work and producing the food. That's the way it works. One leads to the other. It's not a coincidence. Food supply starts to disappear. Then there's a famine. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. See, these things aren't even the tribulation yet. This is just the beginning. The God of this world wants to keep the nations fighting. He wants to keep that anger going. That's one of the symptoms of this pandemic. Another one is uneasiness and how it stirs up our emotions. Now, do you ever get an unsettled feeling just when you sit down and watch the news and you see all these things happening and you think, where is this all going to end? Well, you know where it's all going to end, but you think, when is it all going to end? You know, how much longer is this going on? And then each day it just gets a little worse and a little worse, and somebody else gets shot and somebody else is looting stores. And it's just getting worse, and it makes you feel so unsettled. Again, Satan, as the God of this world, is behind all this that's going on. His way brings violence and unrest. We've certainly seen a lot of that lately. And when we see this on the news day after day after day, it gets a little depressing, doesn't it? You almost get tired of watching it. You just want to turn it off. If we allow it, the anger and the hate can transfer to us. We can start getting angry and hateful because of our emotions. And so that uneasiness is a symptom that we have to be careful about, because it can make us, it can suck us in to that same feeling of anger that so many nations in the world are having right now. Our world is being disrupted and Satan is stirring up our wrath. Like a contagious germ, it can absolutely infect our emotions. James chapter 1, verse 19. This is why we can't let that happen. James 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Remember that. If we start getting angry at what's going on, where's God's righteousness being produced? You know, we don't want our emotions to be infected like that, so that we start letting that anger come through, because God's righteousness is not found therein. Unless it is stopped, this infection will spread to other people. And that's what leads to the rioting, to the looting, the physical violence that we see. And lawlessness, if we had lawlessness, it would lead to more lawlessness. And ultimately, there's no law and order left in the world at all. And that is one aspect of tribulation. Lawlessness abounds. But that's what the God of this world wants. He wants us to be unsettled. He wants us to get over emotional so that we too get involved in what's going on in this world. And when that happens, righteousness isn't there. Another symptom of this infection: it causes you to do what you usually would not do. It can make our carnal side appear when we don't expect it. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Paul is writing to the church at Rome. In verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." You know, we start doing what we know is wrong. In verse 19, let's drop down there. Let's continue the thought. Verse 19 says, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Paul said there was this war going on inside of him. God's ways and Satan's ways always at war with each other. And we have to make sure that Satan's ways don't start to win. In Paul's situation here, what he's saying is the effect of all of this battle going on, he says he ends up doing the evil that he hates doing. He doesn't want to do that. We can lose self-control and we can start doing what we know isn't proper. Because remember, one of the things that Satan does is he makes evil appear desirable. Which brings us right back to the blurry vision symptom. You know, the God of this world is trying to resurrect your carnal side, that carnal side that you buried when you were baptized. How do we protect ourselves from the infection? Very familiar concepts. I think you'll be amazed at the steps we need to take to protect ourselves from this infection, from this pandemic. The first thing we need to do: social distancing. Huh? That's the first thing we need to do. Practice social distancing. And 6 feet isn't nearly enough. How do we remain distant from Satan? Well, it's very easy. We make him go away. Not us. We make him go away. James 4, verse 7. James 4, verse 7. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." There's your social distance. He's gone. He's putting some distance between himself and you. Just resist him. Nothing will send him running away faster. How can we resist him? Well, it says, submit to God. If we submit to God, then we will resist him and he will flee. Notice the first few words of verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And if God is near you, Satan doesn't want anything to do with you. He's not going to want to be around you. And he is going to social distance himself from you. We keep distant from Satan by staying near to God. We speak to him regularly. We pray to him. We immerse ourselves in his word. We stay close to him, and Satan won't come near us. Keeping Satan distant is your best defense against him. Just like keeping distant from people who have this virus is your best defense against catching it from them. Same principle. You'll see several similar principles here. But if you keep Satan from being too close, he can't harm you. But you have to always be on the lookout for him. He will run from you, but you have to be careful not to let him back in. What's the next thing we can do? Wash your hands. I'm not making this stuff up. The next thing we can do, keep our hands clean. Let's read the rest of verse 8, where we left off. Cleanse your hands. Duh, it says it right there. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, clean up your act. You know right from wrong. Why do you keep getting your hands dirty over and over again? How? How does this happen? How do you keep from getting your hands dirty? By not being double-minded. What does that mean? Well, you're half in, you're half out. You're sitting on a fence. You know, you want God's way, but you want a little bit of your way too. And that gives Satan the edge. It gives him the ability to get back in. You know, it's either all God's way or not at all. You can't sit on the fence. And if you do, you will keep getting your hands dirty over and over again. So keep your hands clean. The next thing we can do to avoid this pandemic, sanitize your surroundings. How many times do you see people going around wiping things down with disinfectant? That's kind of what we have to do in a spiritual sense. We need to surround ourselves with decent influences and avoid bad ones. Now, what people do you associate with? Are they good influences on you? Or are they perhaps at times maybe bad influences? Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. Proverbs verse 12, verse 26. It says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. You start associating with somebody who's wicked, and he's going to be contagious to you. Some of that wickedness is going to rub off on you. You're going to catch it from him. Choose your friends carefully. Surround yourself with decent people. Remember, Satan's way is highly contagious. How about the entertainment you choose? Is it a good influence? If you watch violent shows on TV, can that violence rub off on you? What about the music you listen to? Do you listen to music that might have some explicit lyrics? You know, some of that can rub off. Some of that can cause you to start using words like that as well, because it's in your mind. You're letting it in your mind. Do you watch TV shows that are rated for mature audiences? Well, you get the picture? You can be letting things in if you're not careful. You have to be very cautious about your surroundings and make sure they're kept sanitized and undefiled. Okay, what's the next thing that we can do? Face masks, right? Well, it's a simplified version, but it's easy to remember. because it's on signs all over the place. A face mask might work with a virus, but the attacks from Satan and his infection is going to take something greater. It's going to take the whole armor of God. In Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The armor you need comes in several components. You see, a virus is really simple. It gets in through the respiratory system. You cover your nose and your mouth. Everything should be fine. But you need more covering when it comes to this particular pandemic. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You need to guard your heart with this breastplate. This breastplate, which is called the righteousness. The righteousness of God guards your heart. As long as you have that, you're in good shape. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your footwear is the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wherever you walk, you carry the good news of the kingdom of God with you. Let that be what drives you. Let that be what keeps you going. Looking forward to God's kingdom and carrying the message of it wherever you go. Focus on that kingdom. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith will protect you from everything that Satan throws at you. Now, with a virus, you know, people don't actually go around throwing it at you intentionally, but that's the way Satan works. He will throw these things at you to try and infect you. He will try to bring you down, and that shield of faith is what protects you from that. And then verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So don't forget to keep your helmet and your sword with you. The helmet to guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Keep Satan out. And then that supported by God's word. By the word that he has given us and taught us by. Those 66 books that mean everything in the world to us. You see, this enemy is much greater than any virus, and no simple face mask is going to work against him. Finally, there's one other thing that you need. And just like with any virus, where they have immunizations that you can get to protect you from a virus. And they're working on one now for this coronavirus. But you need your immunization. That immunization is that of God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit helps us fight against this pandemic. Not only must we have it, we must keep it stirred up. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. This is what Paul said to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, he tells him this very thing. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's Spirit can't just lie dormant within us. It can't just be sitting there doing nothing. If it isn't being exercised, it will grow weak. Remember, like it says here, it is a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's exactly what is needed to overcome the adversary. And God put his Spirit in us for this very purpose, to give us that strength that we need to fight against this enemy. If we use it, we will overcome him, and he will flee from us. The spirit of Satan in the world, it is a pandemic that is centuries old. No physical virus or illness can compare to it. But we need not fear. It will not overtake us. We know the steps to take to avoid it. They're very familiar to us. They've been drilled into us from every angle over the last few months. If only we'll use them as a memory device to remember what we need to do. The pandemic will not be able to take us down if we keep our distance from Satan and make him flee from us. If we avoid double-mindedness and commit to God's way. If we surround ourselves with good influences and avoid the bad ones, keep away from whatever is defiled. Put on the whole armor of God to protect us from Satan's attacks when he comes directly at us. And finally, stir up the gift of God's Holy Spirit. It's more powerful than Satan is. Let's remember these steps to take, these things that we can do to protect ourselves from the pandemic that has been overtaking the world since the days of Adam and Eve.